a star on my car and one on my chest, a gun on my hip and the right to arrest. I'm the guy who's a boss on this highway, so watch out what you're doing when you're driving my way. If you break the law, you'll hear from me. I know I'm a working for the state. I'm the highway patrol.
Highway patrol. It means one thing. It is time for Safety Talk today. The return of this Thursday morning. And our good buddy, Sergeant Jimmy Morgan, in studio today with us, talking about safety on those Texas highways. The roadways, the freeways, byways, feeder roads. What do you guys call them around your parts? What do y'all call those feeder roads?
Ramps.
On ramps? Call them feeder roads.
Yeah.
They always say, take this, and the I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I know. Brian, they have them.
Yeah, I was like, the feeder road.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know the road that goes, oh, they're like the entrance ramp? Entrance
Well,
ramp.
The feeder road is actually the road that the feeder roads, ramps lead into.
Yeah.
People always ask, say, well, who has a right-of-way? But if you're coming off the ramp, the ones that are on the access road have to yield right-of-way to you.
Yeah, you got to slow down.
And most, and that's both lanes. And usually they have yield signs posted to aid you in making that decision. So, glad to be back. Man, I'm excited. I'm hearing cooler weather. And I know you're a big deer hunter.
Yeah.
That's going to get you motivated and all that good stuff.
It's getting close. Mm.
But real busy this time of year. I was looking at some stats this morning. At the end of September, looked on TxDOT, we were at 2507 as far as the fatality rate here in the state of Texas. We're averaging 279 fatalities a month and 9.3 fatalities a day. And yes, we have not had a deathless day on our state highway since November 7th. Year 2000. So within about a month from now, if that trend continues, then it would be 19 years without not having a deathless day on our highway. So
wow.
Hope we can break that cycle one of these days. If you recall here, like TxDOT will say, in the streak or whatever, that's what they're talking about. It's not the Astro streak. We want to keep that one going on, right?
Yeah.
So today's date, we're at 2536. So again, we're 9.3 a day. So that's way too many. And, you know, and saying that, I tell people all the time, as we add more and more people to our state and more motorists, and TxDOT's trying to keep up with that traffic flow, and we're maintaining pretty much the same numbers we have in the last few years. So we are doing a few things right. But anyway, just thought I'd mention that. So Saturday I was in Bryan, Texas, producers. It was a kind of an agricultural vendors there, whether you're selling some kind of feed or whatever it may be, or items. Or we were doing what we call farm rules and regulations. And there were some good questions and some good feedback from that. So what I plan on doing today, obviously I'll take any question you got out there, as you know. Craig's got the number.
979-836-9937.
But I want to go through some of this stuff because it's amazing, like, hey, some of the questions that came out of this. So I thought what I'll do is go through this just a little bit, go over some things that that was covered. And I think this is really today, Brenham and Washington County being a farm rural area with a lot of ranching and farming going on. I think a lot of people will find this interesting, some of the good conversations that took place. I will say this before I get started. I stopped at Smithy's this morning, and I made what I call a country breakfast, okay? And it was delicious as ever. And I have another Smithy's Cafe and Bakery certificate. $25. I mean, that's just it'll feed two people. Okay, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
And you know, or you or your dog, whatever you want to do. Okay, that's a whatever you want. I don't know if they allow pets in there, but take it home to your dog. But so today, my question is: there is exemptions from CDL that's out there. And I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm looking at 6 if you can call in and give me four exemptions, the CDL, what, and this is occupation or kind of what you're doing at the time is what I'm talking about. So if you're in this operation, you are not required to have a CDL. And then I'll go into the miles and stuff after that. So if you've got, you've got four exemptions that exempts you from what type of person is exempt from CDL. If you want to call that in, we'll take it. And $25, Smitty's Cafe, and tell them I certainly, I hope they're listening this morning.
Yeah.
We certainly appreciate the sponsorship to today's trivia.
You know, 979-836-9937. Four exemptions to needing a CDL.
Mm-hmm. So a farmer and rancher on a C, it's, if you are pulling a trailer, okay, some ranchers and farmer asked me what kind of license they need. I had a brother call me the other day, and he has one of them RVs. Mm-hmm. It's a motor coach, by the way.
Okay.
And he also has a trailer, a farm trailer. I don't know what kind of tags he has on it. But he uses it on his ranch down in South Texas.
All right.
And goes back and forth. So his question was, what type of license do I need for that operation? And I said, well, you're going to need at least a Class B, but probably a Class A. What kind, you said dozer? Yeah. Is it a tandem wheel trailer? Dual wheels, yeah. So in Texas, if the if you're claiming the farm ranch operation, and your trailer, your GVW weight rating of the two exceeds 26,001, and the trailer is over 20, that's a Class A CDL, non-CDL, I'm sorry. And so on that motor coach, it would cover that also. So if the trailer is 20,000, less than 20,000, that's a Class B non-CDL. And then, obviously, if you're under 26,000 pounds and the trailer's under 20, that's a Class C, your regular Class C license for that. So, anyway.
You got a couple head of cattle you're going to haul around somewhere you don't need.
So, most people and around here that have the short, let's say, 16, 14-foot stock trailer, they may have five or six head of cow in there or whatever it may be. So they're, so you take up, you take the GVW weight rating off the truck and you go to the trailer. And that's another important thing I want to really stress on today is that's what they're going to go by. If you, okay, you get a truck, you get a trailer and you go down to registration office and you tell them, I have a trailer and I want to register it for, I think I carry maybe 10,000 pounds. Okay. But on the GVW weight rating on the tag of that trailer, it says 15. Okay. If you get stopped and get looked at and they start adding weight, they don't care what you registered at. They're going to go by the GVW weight rating on the tag. So it's on the pulling unit, the truck, and the trailer. And that's going to determine, depending what you're doing that day with that, that's going to determine what classification of license that you're required to have. And it also may require whether or not you follow the DOT guidelines or not. And I'll get into that here shortly. But it so around here, most of the farming rules of operation on that kind of is going to be a Class C. Now, if they get over 26,001 and say they got one of them real long cattle trailers, you see the longer ones that go down the road, and you may be pulling it with a dually truck or whatever. Now, what you fall it now, you got what you got to realize that you can get a Class A non CDL for that. But if, once you go over the 150 miles or go over the 48,000 pounds, then you're going to fall out of that exemption status. And then you're going to be required to get a license unless that you are what you covered, what they call a covered farm vehicle. And when, if you are to, so you got to exceed the 48,000 pounds to be considered a covered farm vehicle. So a covered farm vehicle is basically a farm rule, the same operation that you were in when you were under 48, but now you're out of the 150 and you're the 48,000 pounds. And now DOT, all that applies. And then they say, well, hang on a minute. If you're a covered farm vehicle, we'll still, all the exemptions apply except for one. And that one that does not apply is the 393, and that's your securements and stuff like that. So let me say, give you a scenario where that would come in. So this time of year, you're starting to see a lot of hay move, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see the hay trailers that are designed to carry the hay. Then you see some flatbed trailers out there, 18-wheeler operation. And they're carrying like 20-something rolls of hay. Well, when I look at that, and if I have any imagination, I can tell you right now, if I added the trailer and the truck, they're going to be over 48. So they're going to be what I consider a covered farm vehicle because they're hauling hay. But they don't get the exemption under 393 under covered farm vehicle, so that's securement. So they are required to secure that hay just like under any other normal load that the commercial people have to do it. So that's one of the exemptions that you don't get. So you really need to make sure you're strapping that hay down accordingly. Now, if you're under the 48,000 pounds, then there is no securement rules. You tie it on the best you can and hope it don't fall off. The main thing when I say that, though, is to remind yourself you're still responsible for your load and civil liability. So if you don't secure your load and you just throw it up there and it rolls off and it causes wreck, somebody gets seriously hurt or even gets killed, then you're going to be responsible certainly for that, even though you get that exemption. So anyway, any calls yet?
No, not yet, but we're getting about to a break time. You want to take a break real fast?
Sure.
Do that. Again, 979-836-9937, 836-9937 this morning. Again, the question one more time.
That there's some there a couple of operations out there. If you're doing these, and I already gave one away, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Certain operations that exempt you from CDL. If you could give me at least four of them, then you got a Smithy's $25 gift certificate. You
need four answers. Exempts you from having to have a CDL? Win $25 to Smithy's. 836-9937. Back. More Safety Talk coming up after this.
Did you know that all Mueller metal roofs and buildings are made by Mueller? Get the peace of mind you deserve knowing your warranty is backed by a company that has been manufacturing metal products in Texas for over 85 years. You can be certain that we will be here for you today and far into the future. Visit us locally at 1840 North Earl Rudder Freeway in Bryan College Station to get your metal project started today. Or give us a call at 855-958-1255 to speak with a skilled sales representative.
Fall is here, but it's still hot, hot, hot. Keep your AC going strong by calling Modern Air Solutions. As locally owned cooling and heating technicians, Modern Air Solutions specializes in the sales and installation of energy-efficient systems. And when a new unit just isn't in the budget, they're happy to service existing ones as well. Find them on Facebook at Modern Air Solutions or call 979-451-5004. Modern Air Solutions, honest work and always a fair price. License number TACLA74166E.
Carson and Barn Circus invites you to explore a world of magic under the big top, where fantasies and dreams become a reality. Imagination will be reached as the elusive unicorn prances through the center ring, and dinosaurs shake the ground that we walk on as we travel back millions of years, and majestic Asian elephants captivate your heart. This fantastic adventure can only be found under the Circus Big Top. Visit BigTopShow.com or call 580-743-7292.
Carson and Barn Circusaurus in Brenham at the Washington County Fairgrounds on Thursday, October 3rd. For tickets, see their website at BigTopShow.com.
Kay's Mutt Hut, a doggy resort and ranch nestled on a beautiful ranch in the country, is specifically designed to ensure your dog's safety and comfort. Your best friend will experience a pleasurable and incomparable experience while giving you the peace of mind that your pet is safe, healthy, and happy. They offer dog boarding, daycare, and spa services. Let Kay's Mutt Hut be your pet's home away from home. Transportation to and from the ranch is available. Kay's Mutt Hut, 6955 Hummingbird Road in Brenham. Find out more online at kaysmutthut.com.
Welcome back once again to Safety Talk today on KWHI, AM 1280 FM 101.7. Craig Montana joined by Sergeant Jimmy Morgan in studio today, who's by his lonesome today. You keep wondering we're going to see old Woodard come back and visit with us, but I guess he don't like us no more around here.
I saw him yesterday.
Did you?
We were at farms and stuff, but He sounds like he's busy. I don't know, but he'll be back one of these days.
All right. Well, see if you're listening, you know, come back and visit us again. We miss you.
So did he wait? I was going to ask him, did you wait to get off air? You just didn't want to answer over there or what?
I think he started calling right when we were ending it.
Oh, okay.
He may have just jumped in and heard it, or may have just, he said he took him a while to find him.
Yeah.
He Googled
well, look,
it.
Look,
he Googled it.
Well, look, at $25, I mean, I'm just not going to. Yeah. Throw. I mean, you're going to have to work for it.
Yeah.
You're going to have to build up an appetite.
Nobody's upset about that.
So the answer to the question was your farmers under 150 miles, unless you're a covered farm vehicle, and you get that exemption that covers the intrastate movement of a covered farm vehicle. Your firefighting, emergency type situation, they get that exemption. Your military, people operating your military vehicles on the roadway. Recreational vehicle. Now, I want to stop right there on recreational vehicle. So you still have to go down, take a test, and show that you can operate a recreational vehicle, whatever kind of vehicle it is. But remember this, the RVs, you get that exemption as long as it's for recreational use. If you're into crafts, arts, and stuff like that, and you travel around to go all these shows, and you're selling for commerce, and you're using an RV to do that, you actually lose your exemption to that. It's supposed to be for recreational use. So be mindful of that we see that from time to time, and we have to let people know that. Vehicles operating on airport property, which to me, why would you have to have a license anyway if you're on property? Let me give you an example. So you have a wreck. Mm-hmm. The guy asked me the other day about pulling out from a parking lot. Are you required to signal? The answer is that no. I said, think about it. It's a parking lot, okay? It's not a roadway, okay? If I can't even write you a ticket for not even having a license on a parking lot. But there are some rules that do apply to parking lots. One of them, driving while intoxicated, and that's a public place, which a parking lot is. Your reckless driving, your Class B misdemeanors on up, there's some rules in there that we can actually go in and file some charges on that. Mm-hmm. But most of your Class Cs, your insurance, your driver license, failing mm-hmm. to signal in a parking lot, stuff like that.
Seatbelts.
Seatbelts can't do nothing to you. Mm-hmm. So you're not on a roadway that's maintained by the state or the highway or mm-hmm. or even a city or whatever it may be. That's more, that surface is going to be usually the owner of that facility. So you get that exemption on there. So that's why when we work some of these crashes, and we don't work that many on parking lots hard anymore. We got so much going on the regular roadways, mm-hmm. but that, you know, and people ask, well, why didn't you write them a ticket? Well, that's why. I mean, you can work the crash, show who's involved, do the insurance, mm-hmm. whatever. And most of this is going to be over $1,000 or more, which don't take much to get there anymore. But we may show the contributing factors on the back, whatever rule or whatever it was that fits in there, whatever contributing factor that is. Mm-hmm. But don't get upset if the officer doesn't issue a citation on that, because that's the reason. The transportation code really doesn't apply to a parking lot in most times. And the last one being a vehicle transporting cotton modules. So that's what he chose. I think he chose farmer, firefighter, and military in the cotton modules is what he chose. So that's some of your exemptions to CDL. So good answer for that one. To be considered either an intrastate or interstate vehicle, a lot of people still think if you stay in the state, then you're an intrastate movement. But actually, it's what you're hauling, where it was produced at or made at, manufactured, whatever you want to call it. If it was made from another state and you pick it up and somebody drops it off in Amarillo and you go from Houston to Amarillo, that load came from state cross state lines, or these containers that you see now. Them containers come off ships. So if it's dropped off down there at the port down there in Houston somewhere and you pick it up, that container crossing county, from another country, you have an interstate load. You fall under interstate guidelines unless somebody else. Now, if you went and bought that container from somebody that's selling them, then now that would be an intrastate movement because it's already reached its destination. So it's going back out on a second.
So even though it was started somewhere and or made somewhere else, but if it went somewhere, somebody sold it, considered that that's
so.
In Texas,
here's the deal. Well, I guess if I'm a truck driver and my boss man says go down and pick up this container to come off the ship,
mm-hmm.
that's an interstate load. It may be filled with bananas or whatever mm-hmm. it may be, fruits, whatever. But say like they get ready to sell. That container and it's already reached a destination, and that certain transaction is done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the guy drops off the container, unload it, and it sits there or whatever. And then the guy says, "You know what? I just want to sell that. We don't need that container no more." And you find out about it, and you go buy it. Well, that from that their point was where you purchased it from, and then where you're taking it to. That would be an intrastate movement if you stayed. So you really got to pay attention to that. But, and the reason I bring that out, because you go by different guidelines on far as CDL. To have a CDL on intrastate, you have to be 18. But to interstate, you have to be a minimum age of 21 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes a difference. So you need to keep up where the origination of that product started from and where it's supposed to be going. And that's going to dictate whether or not it's going to be intrastate.
Yeah.
Or in state level.
No, then it would be about what's in the, not in the container, not the container itself, right?
Well.
Because, playing devil's advocate here.
Right.
You know, somebody picks up that container from the ship, they take it to their destination, and boom, they unload it.
Right.
They reload that container.
Now we're starting all back over.
Starting back over.
Yeah.
Okay. Even though the container came from somewhere else, but once it's reloaded.
Once it's done, the transaction's done, it's dropped off, and it's cleaned out, and now we're going to use that container, and because it may not ever go back overseas,
mm-hmm.
it may stay here.
Okay,
and now I want to load it up with something else. So the load started out where you're loading it at.
Okay,
and then you look at okay, now where is it going, and then that's when you redetermine what kind of load did you.
So it would be the load, not the container. Then at that point,
well, it's the actual operation of that, the destination load, and the origination and the destination where it's going.
I know. So these, you can be nitpicky on some of these things. So
yeah,
I just want to make sure we're all
well. Yeah,
we all understand.
I get it. I tried to explain to them what a truck tractor and a semi truck tractor and a truck. The difference is,
mm-hmm.
and you see these operations, we've talked about on these programs before. Remember, your truck tractor, semi-trailers that you see, the 18-wheelers going down the road, there is no overall length to that setup. The only length is limited to the trailer, and that's at 59 feet. So, but the trick is, what is the difference between a truck and a truck tractor? So basically, a truck tractor is where a pull unit that has either a gooseneck fifth wheel, but it has no, it's not designed to carry any load other than a trailer in its load. And so you see some of these vehicles that look like a truck tractor, but they have they've mounted a flatbed trailer on the back, may have a gooseneck, may have a fifth wheel, but they got places to put toolboxes. They may throw some hay and stuff, depending how that's designed. That may be what we call a truck. So he's going to be limited to 65 feet total length. So you see a lot of the people in the horse industry, the real high dollar horses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I see it there. I see this is a I see this rule applying to the people that race race cars and stuff. The Dallas Fort Worth area up there, they'll have. What they normally like to do is take their big RV motor coach, which is another situation, and they'll put a nice fancy trailer on the back of that, and it may have tools and stuff in the front and the car in the back part of it, and they just drop the gate and roll the car out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first of all, if he's doing that for hire, for money prize, think about that. If he wins, does he not get money?
Yeah.
Okay. Now.
But,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, is he CDL or non-CDL?
But he's not being hired. He's just winning money. Nobody's.
Oh, wait. Arts and crafts. You're carrying it around. You're selling it. You're in commerce. Okay.
If he doesn't win,
huh?
If he doesn't win, he doesn't get nothing at all.
Yeah, I would say you're on thin line.
Really?
That's not recreation. When you're doing something for money and you can get paid, to me, you're stepping that close to that line of losing your exemption. But what I'm getting at, that RV and that trailer, he's only getting 65 feet. Like I say, I tell the story. I measured one 80-something feet long one time, and the guy really had a lot of money invested in that. So he's saying there's – and I've seen them, but I don't know if they are not aware of the law or they – I always tell people, if you don't know, call somebody. It don't have to be DPS. Call somebody you know. Mm-hmm. And if they don't know, hopefully they'll not give you the wrong answer. They'll call somebody to give you the correct answer. But anyway, so that came up. So just make sure you farmers and ranchers, typically in a pickup truck, you can pull two trailers if the empty weight is 2,500 pounds or more, as long as you do not exceed the 65-foot rule.
We got a phone call here this morning.
Sure.
Here you go. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk today.
Yes, I got a question, and it just come about with me this morning. I went and picked up some metal this morning, and I got a 25-foot trailer, and they wasn't going to load it, but we was able to push it up far enough to put it on there. They said it can't hang over 4 foot, and I'm exactly hanging over 4 foot.
Okay.
Is that true?
That's true. You can, but you got to have a permit.
Right. You got to have a permit.
Yeah,
right.
Over the 4 foot. Now, what's the exemption to that rule? Do you know of one?
Exemption to it?
Yes, sir. Besides
you don't
the permit.
Have CDLs?
No, I'm talking about the extension part.
Oh, no, I don't know what the exemption is.
You've seen it, but you just never thought about it. So these guys are doing like unloading bricks, unloading grass pallets and stuff. You ever notice what they have on the back?
Right, one of them.
Them forklifts that stick back there and they hang off the back. A lot of them have they'll put the extra lighting on the back, but they get that exemption. They get up to 7 foot off that for that kind of load, I guess you would say, extension. So that's your exemption to that 4 foot rule, is they get one.
Right.
But yeah, so. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Also, on the trucks, whatever you haul in the back of a truck applies to the same rule, right?
What do you mean?
If you're hauling a piece of metal sticking out of the back of your truck, you can't.
Yeah, that's the extension rule. You cannot extend no more 4 foot from the rear of the trailer, no more than 3 foot from the front, and no more than 6 inches to the right and 3 inches to the left. That's your extension rule. That's not so much length. That has to do with the load and its extension from your vehicle.
Right. Now, what about just on the back of a pickup but without a trailer?
Same thing. 4 foot.
Same thing.
So you see these roofers go down a road. I see them all the time. I just saw one yesterday. They'll get a sliding ladder that goes up 20 feet, whatever it may be. And they'll throw it in the back of the truck, and that thing will be hanging out there more than 4 foot. Is he in violation of law? Absolutely. And the red flag comes in to play. A lot of people say, well, if I just throw a red flag, then I'm good. Well, no, that's what they require you to have after you get your permit. And in that time, you got to have a red light. The red flag goes out the door. You got to have some kind of lighting back there.
Oh, okay.
Does that make any sense?
Okay. Right.
Did I just confuse you as mud, or what? Are you?
No.
Okay.
No, you did not understand it.
Yeah. The main thing for your situation, any overhang from the 4 foot from the rear, either be a truck or your trailer, you're required to have a permit.
Permit, okay.
And we hadn't gotten around cylinder bales of hay yet, but we're fixing getting that. So there's always exceptions to the rules. We talked about CDL exemptions. Now we're talking about securements and extensions. So your round bales of cylinder bales that you see, you got to have a permit for these round things that cylinder bales that up to 12 feet or 144 inches. But you have to have the permit. A lot of farmers say, "I thought I got the exemption." Well, you do after you get your permit. Anything over 8'6". You ever notice a flatbed trailer or an 18-wheeler? They're only going to be 8'6". They're no wider than that. Well, there's a reason for that, because anything over that, they're going to require to have a permit over 8 foot six wide. So that's the rule on them type of permits.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
It.
Yeah.
Well, here, thanks for the phone call this morning. Again, make your own phone call, 979-836-9937 for Safety Talk today.
Yeah, sometimes I go to talk and I go, what did I just confuse? Hey, I did show this picture. I showed this picture. You remember this in the news? I think it was this early this year or later last year where that guy had that horse in the back of his pickup truck.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, I had that picture. That, mm-hmm. I said, that happened here in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And Corrigan, Texas, by the way.
Yeah.
Right off 59 up there. Polk County.
Polk County, all right.
Yeah. So was that operation legal?
If you have a dog back there, why can't you have a horse back
there? Well, there you go. Okay. Now, he's under the 48,000 pounds.
Yeah.
And the horse is staying on there. Matter of fact, got his legs. I'm looking at the picture here. He's got his legs spread pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
He looks comfortable. He almost looks like that dog. It doesn't bother him.
Yeah.
Don't do that, please. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, we got so many calls on that.
Yeah.
And as soon as you get back on the road, you know, there's not much we can do about it, but don't do that.
Yeah.
Put the horse in the trailer. Bad things can happen. You got to stop real quick, make a turn, whatever. That horse is not going to maintain that.
A little more top heavy than a dog.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, don't do that.
All right. We've got another phone call here today. Good morning. You're on Safety Talk.
Yeah. I weigh about 175 pounds. And last time that I heard the officer was, you know, talking about, alcohol drinking, and I'm real concerned. And at 175, about how many beers? I don't drink more than two, but would that put me over the limit for breathalyzer?
Well, that's a great point. So let's go through some of the factors here. I want to write this stuff down so I can. Maybe, okay.
A lot of numbers and math we're going to do here in a minute.
Anyway, here we go. Men have more body water than most females, okay? That's fluid. That's in your body, okay? And number two is size of the person makes a difference. The bigger you are, the more water weight you have. Does that sound where I'm, okay? See, Craig's shaking. Okay, I'm following you. Number three is food. Have you had anything to eat today? Right. Then number four is the alcohol beverage that you are. What percentage of alcohol are we talking about? Are we talking a double whiskey? Or are we talking about a beer or whatever? So all them four things I just said right there, and the time, the last time you've had that drink, is going to determine what you are going to rest your, if you was to blow or take a blood sample.
Okay.
Okay. So which part of that are you really interested in? Or did I answer your question?
Well, two beers normally, is that enough
alcohol? So on the average person, two beers would be, we equivalate somewhere around 2% per alcohol. If you had two beers within an hour's time, you would probably register somewhere around 3 to 4, okay? The average person, 4%.
Is that over?
No. Now listen, there's two parts to the law, okay? Always remember this. Driving while intoxicated in the state of Texas is 0.08, okay? Or not having the mental use or mental capacity, you lost that, okay? Let me give you an example. Somebody that doesn't drink, that drinks two beer, they're going to act goofy and whatever. But if you stuck them over on the breath test, they're going to pass. But you put them behind the wheel of the car, and they're not going to be able to operate it because they've lost it, okay? So the DWI in Texas is a two-part rule. So you could either one fits, then you're actually in violation. And that's under prescription drugs or anything that makes you where you lose your mental and physical capabilities to operate a motor vehicle, or you're with a
0.08. Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for the phone call this morning on Safety Talk, 979-836-9937. Let's take another quick break here. come back and kind of wrap things up here real quick this morning? Do that?
Sure.
Sound good for you? Right. We'll be back. Safety Talk this morning, 979-836-9937. Back with more from Sergeant Morgan after this on KWHI.
Finding a specialty care practice you like and trust is never easy, especially for something like ear, nose, and throat health. Trust Jenna Leckler of Texas ENT in Brenham for professional and compassionate care. She's excited to accept new patients at 539 Medical Parkway in Brenham. Not sure what your schedule looks like from day to day? Walk-ins are welcome. Texas ENT and Allergy is a full-service ear, nose, and throat allergy and audiology private practice where the patient is always number one and where you'll always have access to the best specialist for your diagnosis. They're equipped to care for both adult and pediatric patients. So whether you're due for your allergy shot or it's time to consider a hearing aid, stop in to see Jenna Leckler or Dr. Andrew DeJong. Visit their website at TexasENTandAllergy.com. Or call their office at 979-693-6000. That's 979-693-6000. When you need ENT and allergy care, you have a choice.
J&J Packing Company in Brookshire is a USDA federally inspected wholesale and retail meat distributor specializing in pork products, fresh or frozen. Need a roasting pig or custom processing? Call J&J Packing at 281-375-6060 or place an order for your next barbecue or party. J&J Packing is a proud sponsor of the Washington County area sporting events. J&J Packing on West Highway 90 in Brookshire, Texas.
It's Brenham Cubette Volleyball on KWHI. Tuesday night, the Cubettes host the Rudder Lady Rangers at the Brenham High Gym, and it is Side Out Foundation night as the Cubettes support the fight against breast cancer. First serve is set for 6 o'clock. The Cubettes and the Lady Rangers at the Brenham High Gym. Join Doug Brown for all the action on AM 1280 KWHI, FM 101.7, and KWHI.com.
Welcome back on Safety Talk on KWHI, AM 1280, FM 101.7 on this Thursday morning. We've got about 10 minutes left in the show today. Sergeant Morgan with us from the DPS. And as always, we do appreciate you coming in and talking with us and keeping us informed on what's happening on those roadways in Texas. And there's a lot of them.
Yeah, there is. Over 80,000 miles that TxDOT's responsible for.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
And well, New Orleans takes so long to get things done, huh?
Well, it's priorities.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. What road has the priorities? Your major, a lot of has to do with the amount of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So, but.
That makes sense.
I'm looking through here, and I'm trying to figure out what else we need to talk about. We've talked about if you're going to use farm license plates, make sure you're on the operation of farm use. And you don't. The main rule about having farm license plates on your truck is that we're not using that for other gainful employment. As you know now, that you have to have your tax ID number from the state comptroller's office before you can go up there even to get farm registration. So that's one of the things they changed the last few years. On your farm utility trailer, if that's what you're doing, you got that little Murray mower on the back, and you're using it to kind of carry your little farm mower around, and if it's under 4,000 pounds, a lot of officers don't know this. I have to keep on telling them that if it's farm use, it's not required under 4,000 pounds to have registration. And you get daytime lighting exemption, safety chain exemption, and motor vehicle inspection, the state and trailer inspection, you get any exemptions on farm on that use. And that's one thing. Remember, they changed on the farm, on the inspection. Remember, we were at 4,500 pounds, and then they've moved it out and up to 7,500 pounds. Because I remember that one guy that called here. It's been, remember I had my captain here, Ben Urban. I actually talked to him this morning. He's actually a major now. So So anyway, that's why I kind of had him here. I didn't know if I told you. But anyway, that guy that called in and said, hey, man, they changed the law. And when I go get my, I have to go get my trailer, inspect it. And it's not like my vehicle because now I got to take the trailer back home, then go to work, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, that 4,000-pound rule been in there my whole career. But it was something that was being looked over, not enforced. I don't know, it was lack of knowledge in law enforcement or whatever. But, yeah, there was a lot of trailers being pulled down the highway that were 4,000 pounds or more that were required to have inspection that didn't have them. But we went to that one sticker program, and then the state started sending out notices saying, you got your trailer registration's coming due. However, you need your trailer inspected prior to registration. Hmm. Well, they went from that. Now it's up to 7,500 pounds now. So I guess the guy that called in, maybe I don't know where his weight was at. So if you're not getting a notice saying to get your trailer inspected before registration, that means the way they are looking at it, that trailer's less 7,500 pounds. So
all right.
These emergency brake, breakaway type devices, they raise that weight to 4,500 pounds. So the golden rule is this. If you have a trailer and the GVW weight rating on that trailer is 4,500 pounds more, and if they manufacture that trailer, they're going to know whether that trailer needs brakes or not. So if your trailer has brakes, typically it's at 4,500 pounds, then you're required to have the breakaway device on that. And so I would hope the trailer manufacturing companies would go ahead and mount that on there for you, but you got to know that because you may have to go get the aftermarket. I have a little utility trailer. It's I think it's 10 foot, but it's 6 foot wide. It's 8 foot wide. But it's got a single axle. So its GVW rating is 3,500 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have trailer brakes, nor do I have the breakaway device because of the 3,500 pounds. So, usually if you start getting into a heavier axle or a tandem axle, then that's when you'll start, seeing, that where, or that starts coming into be a factor, on that. So, let's see here on diesel fuel. Remember if you're that John Doe plumber going down the road, if you have the max you get to carry on that tank of diesel back there is 119 gallons, and that's not what you've got in there. It's what it would hold. So, make sure you're mindful of that. But if you're a farmer, rancher, whatever, and you, having a diesel tank that you're filling up your tractors and stuff with on the farm, they allow you up to 502 gallons on that. Just let me know when I need to stop here.
I'll we got a couple more minutes.
Do we have any phone calls or anything?
Not right now.
Okay, good. Let's see here. Safety chains. Always remember that on the safety chains that there is an exemption on their farm register type trailers. Do they have to be crossed? They've come out. There's a court case saying, look, it doesn't say specifically in the Texas Administrative Code that they have to be crossed, even though that's what we thought the way it read. But anyway, so best practice is cross your safety chains and make them in design where if the tongue does come off, that it keeps the tongue from hitting the surface of the roadway. I've seen safety chains on when the tongue come off. It's definitely going to hit the roadway. So make sure you don't have your safety chains too long. I know you got to have a little length in there so when you're turning and all that, mm-hmm. that it doesn't keep your trailer from coming around. But so there's a happy medium in there somewhere how long your safety chains need to be. And this makes sure they're strong enough for the weight that's on your trailer. Let's see here. Went through that. Oh, so producers had this like kind of a 5 foot pole. It was orange, had an orange flag on it. And I didn't know what it was, but apparently you use it to herd cattle with. So they were handing it out to these farmers, and I was looking at it and I'm thinking, you know, what y'all should have done is design this with a rectangular flag and whatever, and give these farmers and ranchers a little mount for their all terrain vehicle if that's what they want to use it for. I said, because what I see on the roadway these days is everybody forgets they have to have at least 6 foot with the rectangular flag. Now, let me back off of that because I didn't really explain that good enough when I was at the show, and I had to go back and tell them that measurement is going to be taken from the ground. So if we measure from the ground up, and you've got the, it says at least 6 foot. So if your pole and your flag's above that, that's fine too. But we're going to measure from the ground up. It's got to be at least 6 foot. And that's if you're an all-terrain vehicle and you're operating as a farmer rancher on the highway, whatever, you got to have this flag. So what they could have did, it had a little mount, and they're thinking about doing it, is providing a mount, some type of mount, where you can stick this pole down there and use it for that purpose on the roadway. And then when you want to go use it and pull it out for your cattle, mm-hmm. then you, so a dual-purpose type deal. So always remember out there, farmers and ranchers, you got to have the pole with the orange flag. So anyway, we got a – I see a light. Okay, I thought I saw a light flash.
No, me. No, we got – but we got a couple of minutes, though.
Okay. That's pretty much it for the day. Obviously, we're moving in close to the holidays now, believe it or not, cooler weather and all that. So we just continue – to remind our drivers, there's a lot of traffic out there, a lot of people doing different things, Friday night football and all that stuff. We remind motorists to certainly, things can change in seconds out there on the roadway. And so we encourage people not to be impaired by any type of drug or medication, any type of distraction. And the best thing to stay out of accidents is that following distance and adapting your speed to the corning of the roadway, that be traffic, that may be curves in the roadway, the narrowness, whatever it may be. If we got rain, slow down a little bit. And these things like that will help most motorists to stay out of a major crash. So, again, until next time, Craig, thanks for having me on. And thanks for Smitty for sponsoring today's trivia. And I'll see you again next time.
All right. You know, if people have questions to ask you, again, they can contact you by
979-776-3147 or jimmy.morgan@dps.texas.gov.
There goes the bluff. Thank you very much for joining us. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Sergeant Morgan from the DPS with us for Safety Talk. Thanks for joining us today. We'll do it again in a couple more weeks right here on KWHI AM K269GU-FM Brenham.
Here to keep all the speeder driving slow. I'm just doing my job. I'm the highway patrol. I'm the highway patrol. Patrol, my hours are long and my pay is low, but I'll do my best to keep you driving slow. I'm just doing my job, I'm the highway patrol. I'm just doing my job.